You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
June the 9th, 2020, and on this date in Houston today, the funeral service for George Floyd, the black man killed in Minneapolis by a police officer who continued to put his knee into the back of his neck. And of course, all of that sparked numerous protests, First Amendment guaranteed protests, and then the rioting and looting and vandalism and arson and attack on police. And of course, it gives the left an opportunity to push the agenda they want. And the leftist push continues to push for defunding police, abolishing police. In fact, if you need to call police, you are using your privilege. Your privilege. That's the new leftist approach to make you feel guilty. That one, you have police available, and two, you dare call police to come help you. It's a tactic aimed primarily at white communities. But the fact is, if you are a minority, especially living in a nice neighborhood, if you're going to use 911 to call police, you are using your privilege. So if you need your home to avoid all of this issue, if you need police and you don't want to be labeled this way, who should you call if your home's being burglarized, your family being robbed, your children being raped? Who should you call? Well, you just handled it yourself. Or you just endure it so you don't exercise your privilege. BS? Oh, yeah, it's BS. We're going to break that down continually today in both hours because the leftists would have you believe the police are the enemy. If you call them, it's the wrong thing, and they are saying you don't need police in your neighborhoods. More police you have, the more threat to your neighborhood. I know many neighborhoods, wherever they are thankful for police being available when they do place a call. But right now the push is the police are bad. All police are bad. That would be like me saying that all of the protests that have been taking place, even though they were peaceful, were unconstitutional, not right, and out of control. Well, they weren't. They weren't many. In fact, over the last few days, they have been absolutely peaceful. It's those thugs that come in and hijack and terrorists, Antifa and others, want to come in and cause trouble. And yes, a KKK member found driving his car into a crowd of police. And yes, he got arrested, as he should. Plus, another question, is it a good idea to take police out of schools? Chicago right now is dealing with a dramatic increase in shootings during the riots. Dramatic even by Chicago standards. And one alderman says his ward is an S show. An S show. You know the other three letters that go with that. Kind of like when Trump said some countries are S-hole countries. Remember that? Remember how he got attacked? When L.A. Chicago alderman is saying that's pretty much what his ward became. He said, it's an S show and they're shooting at police in my neighborhood. Even the mayor Lightfoot of Chicago admits it's going to take a Herculean effort for some of those stores and businesses to reopen in Chicago because of the rioting. Not the peaceful protest, the rioting. See what they did to help their community? Oh, and then Nancy Pelosi and other white Democrats and even black Democrats accused of a form of blackface, or at least appropriating African culture for political purposes. They did something yesterday that many are coming forward and say, how dare you? That is just akin to a white person putting on blackface. You're mocking and you're appropriating a culture that's not you. And in fact, in this case, you're appropriating a nation's culture for your political gain and your showmanship. And boy, are they getting blasted for that. I'll explain in more detail. Hans von Spakovsky will be joining us also talking about some of the latest thoughts that maybe federal laws need to be employed against rioters that are crossing state lines, interstate communications, to create and form riots. And I think it's time we do that. And then also there's a threat from Tom Arnold, the actor. He makes a statement that I will tell you right now, if any member in a Trump camp had made this statement, you would see it all over the mainstream media. And again, it would sound the drum for take back all the weapons from everyone, abolish the Second Amendment. But because it came from a leftist actor, the leftist media giving him, as you'd expect, a pass. We got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Mustang Savage. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, a lot of us were asked if we could imagine a future without police back in 2017 when we were running for office. And I answered yes to that question. To me, that future is a long way away, and it would take an enormous amount of investment in things that we know work to keep people safe. I mean, for a lot of folks in our community, stable housing is a safety issue. Having access to healthcare is a safety issue. And so having, you know, I think one thing folks are asking is to stop investing so much money in this militarized police force and instead invest in the things that our community really needs. So, you know, I know the statement was bold, and I stand by that bold statement, but the work ahead of us will be long. It will include every member of our community. It has to.
Those are the words of a Minneapolis City Council president. The Minneapolis City Council president, Lisa Bender. And as she was saying, you know, back in 2017 when running for office, we were asked, can you imagine a time we don't need police, that we won't have them? All of us would like a time like that. That would be utopia. That probably won't happen until you get to heaven, where everybody's going to be good and nice and not attacking, even name-calling, anything that would lead to a crime or an act of violence. But what they're looking at really is getting rid of police. And she acknowledged, yeah, we campaigned on that. I was asked, can you imagine a future without police? And I said, yes, I can. It's a long ways off. And then, of course, they start rolling into that. What really makes our community safe is stable housing. Granted, that makes things better if you don't have rundown ghetto buildings, abandoned buildings around. When some folks are living, trying to do the best to keep their place up, and burned out buildings exist on either side of them, their kids have to walk past them to get to a bus stop, go out and play. Yes, they're in danger at that point. That is not a stable environment. And having access to health care, yeah, that makes everybody safe, too, because you're getting proper care. You're not living out there just trying to pick up something on the street that might help you feel better, such as illegal drugs. The way you get there is either in heaven or the other option the leftists kind of push for, socialism and or communism or dictatorship, where you don't have police and nobody gets out of line because the government will crack down on you. You don't have police, but you got soldiers everywhere around you. And you talk about trying to demilitarize local police, and look what they're doing in China and elsewhere. They have control of the situation, and you don't dare step out of the line. That's not what this country wants to do and is trying to reach. I'm going to spend a lot of time on her statement and another one she's going to make in a moment, because the question is, what if I need police? We're going to hear what she says about that in a moment. And we're going to do it again in the second hour. I want to drive these points home in both hours, because I think some out there just don't seem to get it. They still want to pie in the sky. Oh, yeah, it would be so nice. Is there any community in the nation that has gone without police at all, just got rid of them? Well, CNN came up with a storyline, and it's worth sharing with you. Here's the way the headline reads on their page. They disbanded the police department. Here's what happened next. And down below that, they say, this city, which made the move 7 years ago, may be the closest thing to a case study that those calling for defunding police can get. And in fact, not just defunding, but disbanding, getting rid of police. Where did this happen, and how did it go down? And when they talk about they got rid of the police, they mean that the city got rid of police. But they did not stop law enforcement. What they did was turn it over to all the county. We're talking about Camden, New Jersey. The city crime rate was among the worst in the U.S., they point out that time. 9 square miles, 75,000 residents, and in that midst there were 170 open-air drug markets reported in 2013. Violent crime everywhere, police corruption apparently at the core. Officers routinely planting evidence on suspects, fabricating reports, committing perjury. Courts later, after all the corruption was exposed, overturning convictions of 88 different suspects, according to the ACLU report in 2013. So the city of Camden said, just disband the police department. Get rid of it. But they didn't just turn it over to the criminals. They brought in the county. But yet CNN would have you believe, here's a city they defunded, they got rid of the police, and look how great it's been. But read between the lines, because the county police were enacted. What did happen in that 7 years? Violent crimes dropping 42%. 42%, that is a big drop. And they do credit it to some things that certainly can be employed as many communities look to improve relations with their community. Community-oriented policing. They say it starts from an officer's first day. They're talking about the county police. If you become an officer in the Camden County area, a new recruit joins the force, they are required to knock on doors of homes in the neighborhood. They're assigned a patrol, introduce themselves, ask the neighbors what needs improving. And additional training emphasizes de-escalation. And the department's made it clear deadly force is a last option. They even host pop-up barbecues and things of this nature. And they often get out of their car and walk the neighborhood. Now, patrols that are always just rolling by in the cars, they're not making contact with people. You might get folks on the corner shouting, 5-0, 5-0, and they start running. And understandably, because they fear the police. Camden, less than a quarter of the residents that I described for you, 75,000, white, less than 25%. 42% of the population black. And 50% Latino, according to some of these numbers in front of me. So there's a mix in there. You see the numbers overlap. You compare that to Minneapolis. Minneapolis, predominantly white, 63% of the population, less than 19% black. But it doesn't make any difference in racial breakdown if you're actually doing good police work and honest police work and going by the laws and taking care of things as they should be. Joe Biden finally came out and said, I'm against defunding police. I mean, he was on the line. He was holding his finger in the air, see which way the wind is blowing. Where am I going to get the most support? And I think when he saw the black Congressional Black Caucus say, we're against defunding police and abolishing police, the NAACP president also saying, I'm against defunding police, because they recognize you defund the police, you cut the money available for proper policing, you make the community more dangerous. You don't make it safer. You're going to hear in the next hour Senator Kamala Harris. Yes, she's was a former prosecutor in L.A., remember, in California? She wants to get on that Joe Biden ticket so fast. Well, she's still talking about defunding. We'll see how that jives with Biden's stance at this point. And she, of course, was a prosecutor. Now she's saying we need to defund police. They're talking about taking money out of policing and putting it, quote, into community things like youth programs, things of that nature. Those can be a help. They can be a help, but not at the risk of reducing the police resources for your community. You don't make anyone safer at that point. And yes, the violence carried out by some officers continues, excessive force, sometimes justified. There's another case out of Austin, Texas, body camera footage coming out multiple times. This happened on March 28, 2019. It's just now becoming available. The officers had stopped the man that drove past him, failed to dim his headlights as he drove past the deputy. Now, that's a pretty weak reason to stop, but if you don't do that, if you have your lights on bright, that is a violation, as you know, of traffic laws. So they pulled him over, and then he started fleeing because he wouldn't stop. 22-minute pursuit. He collided with three different objects on and off the roadway before he came to a halt. They didn't know what they're dealing with. So they go to get the guy out of the car. He comes out with his hands up, not armed, not intoxicated, but they don't know what the issue is. They're trying to handcuff him, get him under control, because they don't know what he's on, what's going on. He started resisting, pushing back, refused to follow the verbal commands, all captured on the video camera of the officers. Then they get him in handcuffs, and then he starts saying, I have congestive heart failure, I can't breathe. Now, shortly after that, and it's not clear by the time frame that I'm seeing, they did take off his handcuffs because they could tell he was unresponsive, and they got him on the ground, and officers began CPR compressions until medical units arrived. So they were doing everything they can once they realized this guy is in severe stress. We don't know if it's induced by some drug in his system or his anxiety, his fright, or congestive heart issue. They don't know, but they were doing what they can. I do know that you can expect this. You can expect this. An officer is going to have to be dealing with it the best they can. Everyone being arrested in the future will start shouting, I can't breathe. And it might be legitimate, but here's the problem. Those who cry wolf like that, they're going to make it a lot tougher for those who are truly in distress because police are going to think, it's a joke again. You're trying to take advantage of it. It's going to make things worse. That's not going to make things better. And yet they still want to push from the left, defund police, get rid of police. Back to the Minneapolis City Council president that was saying earlier, I can envision a future without police. Minneapolis City Council President Lisa Bender was asked on an interview with CNN. They actually asked a legitimate question. Well, what if you need police? What happens then? What if you need a call for police? Listen to this answer.
Yes, I mean, I hear that loud and clear from a lot of my neighbors. And I know, and myself too, and I know that that comes from a place of privilege. Because for those of us for whom the system is working, I think we need to step back and imagine what it would feel like to already live in that reality where calling the police may mean more harm is done.
More harm is done. And it's a privilege. You're exercising a privilege if you call police. I don't care if you're white or black, but it's primarily aimed at the white community, again, to make you feel guilty. But it's also aimed at minority groups who need, if they call police, well, if you've got police in your neighborhood, then you're exercising a privilege others might not have. And bringing police might create more harm. We are so twisted in this right now that folks honestly don't know. I mean, what am I supposed to do? You want to defend your own property by yourself? You want to be like Captain Dave Doran, who went to a pawn shop to help defend a friend's business and shot dead because police couldn't get there in time, and he thought, well, I got police training, I'll go do it. 77 years old, retired. He went over to help out, and he's gunned down. And if you're not prepared to deal with thugs like that, and you don't have police training, you're probably going to end up dead or your family as well. But if you call police for help, you are exercising a privilege. And then you get this remark from Tom Arnold. Here's what he put out on his Twitter account. Second Amendment is for everyone, including black men with long guns. That's right, Tom. It's for everyone. We don't have a Second Amendment that says only for whites. No, it's for every American citizen. But he says Second Amendment is for everyone, including black men with long guns, but it's effing time for us white liberal men to stand up for our brothers and sisters, borrow our dad's hunting rifles. Another suggesting, I don't have a gun because I don't believe in Second Amendment, but my dad had one. Borrow my dad's hunting rifles and go nose to nose with Trump's gang of misfit tools. Rob Reinert, the other actor, tagged in, let's do it. Is that not invoking and creating a threat of violence? I'd say yes. Are you seeing the mainstream media call out Tom Arnold for trying to create a riot situation or mayhem, chaos, murder? If any Trump supporter, any conservative, any Second Amendment person said, let's get our rifles and go to toe-to-toe with everyone out there, that would be the main lead line. All right, I'm going to take a break. We'll come back. Trump wants to go on the campaign trail. Watch this reaction.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another. Saturday night, don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
President Trump has not held a MAGA rally since March 2nd. That was in Charlotte, North Carolina, the same city where the Republican National Convention is planning to be held here in August, but they're probably going to move it because the governor of North Carolina, the mayor of the Charlotte said, well, we don't know. If you can keep it to 150 people, you can hold the convention. And they say, no, I think so. I think not. They're looking at other places, several cities, Nashville, Las Vegas, Savannah, Jacksonville, Orlando, maybe Houston. That's going to be a $200 million loss for Charlotte, North Carolina, minimum, when they need the money and the help in the midst of all this. But they're probably going to move because they're still, quote, on lockdown, fear of the virus. And yes, Trump had not held a rally since March 2nd because of all that concern. Now they're ready to get back in, taking in mind certain restrictions that might be needed and things of that nature, understandably. And there will be blowback. There will be blowback from the left saying, you're going to endanger all of us. You're supposed to stay in your home. You're supposed to be confined. Social distancing and all of that stuff. Well, now, Minnesota residents. A new health survey out showing Minnesota residents, the percentage of Minnesota residents testing for the coronavirus, testing positive since the beginning of the pandemic, down dramatically in the last 2 weeks. And that came despite 13 days of rioting and protesting involving thousands who got in the street, maybe a mask for the virus concern, maybe a mask to conceal their identity if they're going to riot and loot. And certainly not worried about social distancing, right on top of each other, shoving each other around, jumping around and everything, hollering and so forth. And the same Democrat leaders that said, you got to lock down, you got to shut everything down, we can't put everyone in danger with the virus. Oh, it's okay to have the protest. We'd like you to wear a mask, and hopefully you'll try social distancing, but we know this is, you got to do it. And now is Trump. So I say, you know, I think it's time for us to roll out our campaigns again. You know the left of the leftist media are going to go bonkers. You can't do that. You're going to endanger everybody. I would hold up right here this piece of paper, this documentation from the Minnesota showing the percentage of residents testing positive since the beginning of the pandemic, despite 13 days of rioting in the last 2 weeks, down dramatically. Oh, you can't use information that shows that. I mean, that's you're ignoring the real fact. This is a fact. This is a scientific fact. Will it maybe go up? Sure. Could there be problems with those that show up at the rallies later on? Yeah, could be. It's kind of like that Lake of the Ozarks thing in southwest Missouri. Everyone down there, and so far, I say not everyone, but all of those there in the pool and everything else, and I wouldn't even get that pool, too darn many people in it, and yet there's been no documented case of the virus coming out of that gathering on Memorial Day. So the Trump people say, I think it's time for us to go back to doing campaigning. But you watch how the left goes on the attack. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Hans von Spakovsky. And when it comes to dealing with the riots and the instigators, there are federal laws that should be applied against them because of the interstate traffic that often takes place, either by communications or even travel. Let's address that issue when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest, we've had on numerous times before, always glad to have him back on board, Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, an expert in constitutional law and other items of interest to all of us. Hans, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me.
I know you're on a tight schedule, so we'll rush right into it because I don't want to abuse the opportunity to talk to you. You and Cully Simpson put a piece together on FoxNews.com talking about the George Floyd rioters, not protesters, which the general media seems to misunderstand the word between rioting and peaceful protest. And you're suggesting use federal law to punish these guys. In what way?
Well, look, state and local prosecutors can certainly prosecute somebody who throws a Molotov cocktail or loots a local shop. But there's a federal law, it's called the Federal Anti-Riot Act, and it's intended to go after the organizers and instigators of these kind of riots. And it is specifically tied to people who travel in interstate commerce or use interstate commerce. So in other words, look, if somebody who's a member of Antifa, for example, if they travel from Portland, Oregon to New York City, in order to help organize a riot, they have violated the law. If somebody in California uses the internet, you know, uses his computer, uses his phone to text messages to individuals in New York City to help organize or instigate the riot, they have violated the law. And this is a criminal statute that ought to be used against those who are trying to turn these peaceful protests into, you know, violence and mayhem.
Well,
and,
obviously, that would also apply for those who are at the scene of an event and they're in that city to begin with, and they text everyone, next riot spot, the Target store, or whatever, they give another location. They are also doing it, even though they're not against across state lines, but they're using the right. communication, right? That would still imply.
Yes, it does. So it does apply to folks like that. This law was just used recently when they prosecuted, the Justice Department, they prosecuted three white supremacists who lived in California, and in 2017, they traveled to the University of Virginia to basically instigate and organize violence at the protests that were going on there. So the statute's been used, and Congress clearly wanted this statute to be used because it has something very unusual in it. It's got this provision. I've never seen this in a criminal statute that basically says to the Attorney General of the United States that if he thinks someone has violated this law, he is to proceed as speedily as possible with the prosecution.
Good. But many would say you're only using this to attack minority groups and nice groups like Antifa. But you're saying they went after white supremacists, and it originally was part of the, going after the KKK, right?
Well, there's another statute that they can use. Remember, one of the things that has been the hallmark of Antifa and others is, remember, they're always masked
right.
at these protests when they're engaging in violence. Well, that violates this federal criminal civil rights statute that prohibits going in disguise to do things like this. And, yeah, it was intended to go get the Ku Klux Klan. And, Larry, you and I both know, these organizations have adopted basically the same kind of violent tactics that the Ku Klux Klan used.
And, of course, what we have now, and I pointed out numerous times to the audience, many of those on these riot situations, they have masks on. It's not to avoid the virus. It's to conceal
right.
identity.
Yeah, that is exactly right. We've seen it not just in these riots, but in many others that have occurred over the past couple of years, including, remember, some of the riots that have occurred at universities to prevent conservative speakers from coming in.
I want to get your intake from Elisa McCauley, who is a member of the protest in D.C. She's aligned with Antifa. She was interviewed on National Public Radio, of course, taxpayer-funded media outlet. And part of the interview was titled Antifa Supporter on How People Misunderstand Our Movement, saying it's really, we prefer peaceful and we'll use peaceful means when it's effective, but many times I guess they don't consider it effective, and basically that people misunderstand and mischaracterize Antifa.
Well, I don't think it's possible to mischaracterize what happened in Lafayette Square, north of the White House, when protesters there were throwing bricks at police. They had crowbars that they had brought with them that they were using to lever up the paving stones in the park to also throw at police. And remember, they started fires. They tried to burn down one of the historic churches just on the other side of the White House. I'm sorry, but I don't think we misunderstand what's going on there. That kind of mob violence is simply unacceptable in a democratic society. If she doesn't like the way things are, then engage in peaceful protest and political activism and try to win elections and change things.
Yeah, in fact, even the Anti-Defamation League says Antifa's embrace of violence can be self-defeating, but then says, but there have been no murders related to Antifa.
Well, we don't know that yet because there have been police officers and security people have been killed in these protests, and all of that's still being investigated. So we don't know the answer to that yet.
All right. Well, I'm not going to abuse the opportunity you gave us. I know you're on tight schedule, Hans. I do appreciate your time, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me.
You bet. Hans von Spakovsky for the Heritage Foundation. That interview, by the way, that took place over the weekend on NPR, it was infuriating. I don't know. I'm not asking you to listen to NPR, but I want you to keep in mind that's taxpayer funded. I'd like to get some taxpayer money paying for this program. What are the chances of that? Quentin's in there, the Q man shaking his head. Not likely, Larry. But they point out this Lacey McCauley, she's 6 months pregnant. She's got a baby stroller. She's pushing around with another child, I guess, and she's just a woman that just wants to see things change. But adding, she does support the use of force. And McCauley said, pretty much every day, you know, people's uprising, you're going to see rioting, looting, everyday people destroying the symbols of power. And I want to be part of it. That's what she wants to say. A.G. Barr, of course, did state the other day that I want to go after these, as Hans von Koski was saying, we're going to use a federal riot law where we can. If they're transmitting interstate, if they're crossing interstate lines for taking part in this and agitating and creating it, yeah, we're going to do it. Barr was also in an interview with Brett Baer of Fox News, was going back over the history of the FBI and its history in the Trump-Russian collusion story. And I want to share a couple of things on this. Barr says the FBI was taking, quote, a very aggressive, his words, very aggressive approach to investigating the Trump campaigns to Russia and pushed forward even when the evidence was falling apart, ignoring evidence which would show there's nothing there. And he says it began in part before the election.
I think before the election, I think we're concerned about the motive force behind the very aggressive investigation that was launched into the Trump campaign without, you know, with a very thin, slender reed as a basis for it. It seemed that the Bureau was sort of spring-loaded at the end of July to drive in there and investigate a campaign. And they really wasn't much there to do that on, and that became more and more evident as they went by, but they seemed to have ignored all the exculpatory evidence that was building up and continued pell-mell to push it forward.
In other words, the FBI had already set the agenda. The mission was destroy Trump before the election, in the process of the election, destroy him totally, best we can, just wipe it out. It's redundant, I know, to say totally destroyed, but sometimes I use it just knowing it's redundant just to reemphasize. It's either destroyed or it's not. They wanted to destroy. But Barr says even after what they did before the election, and nothing was there, then after the election, they didn't let up.
The other area of concern is that after the election, even though they were closing down some of it, as we've seen in the Flynn case, and say there's nothing here, for some reason, they went right back at it, even at a time where the evidentiary support or claim support, like the dossier, was falling apart. And it's very hard to understand why they continued to push and even make public in testimony that they had an investigation going when it was becoming painfully obvious, or should have been obvious to anyone, that there was nothing there.
And they know that. They know that, and that's why they continued it. That's why you had the chairs of the various Democrat committees coming out and say, oh, we're close, we got people close. You'd have Clapper and Brennan appearing on CNN saying, well, I can't tell you about the testimony, but yeah, there's a lot going on. You're going to see it coming. In other words, every time they spoke, they were indicating there's something big coming. We know now by the testimony being unveiled, made public, even Brennan, Clapper, and others saying, I never saw any evidence. I didn't see anything. But they were lying to the general public. Now, they cannot be held for perjury charges for lying to you, but we can hold them to that account, can't we? So, coming up, what Nancy Pelosi and some other Democrats, white and black, did the other day that is causing an outrage at misappropriation of culture. I thought the left would never do that. Oh, but they did. They did. That story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hey, if you live in Kentucky, good news for you. The administration, the Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, says we are going to make sure everyone in our state has 100% coverage for health. Healthcare is a basic human right, and we're going to make sure it's available for everybody. My commitment is we're going to begin an effort to cover 100% of our individuals and our... It's not for everybody. I strike those words. It's not for everybody. I'm sorry. He says that we're going to provide 100% coverage for individuals in our Black and African American communities. Everybody. So it's not everybody. State of Kentucky has something like 5.6% uninsured, and there must be, according to that number, about 5.8% of Black Kentuckians uninsured. About 8% of Kentucky's population is Black, so they're going to make every effort to make sure Black and minorities have insurance coverage. And if you're illegal, I think you could probably slip into that. Is that pandering? Is that absolutely pandering? I would say it is. Because he specifically said, my commitment is we're going to begin an effort to cover 100% of our individuals in our Black and African American communities. Everybody. It's pandering. By the way, throwing around that term Black or African American, there are many Blacks who don't want to be called African American. I'm an American. I had a friend the other day say, I hate it when I hear that. I'm an American. I'm not African. I've never been to Africa. I don't know anybody from Africa. And I hate, in fact, I've got a couple of friends, their heritage is Indian, not Western Indian, Eastern Indian, and from that region of the world. And yet they were born in Africa, and they both are dark-complected, and one of them said, I'm more Black African than anyone else that I know. He said, I was actually born in Africa. Misappropriation of culture. You do a black face and you're a white person, you're misappropriating. So let's look at what happened the other day with Nancy Pelosi and other Democrat lawmakers. They're not just white lawmakers, but black lawmakers as well, about 24 of them. Pelosi, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and others gathering in the Capitol's Emancipation Hall as a tribute to George Floyd, kneeling for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, the time that Floyd was on the ground, being held down, could not get up, even after he said he couldn't breathe. 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And I praised it the other day that that's fine. I have no problem with taking an honor like that. If they did, that was their decision. But I noticed something they were wearing, and I didn't get a chance to dig in. And now I've seen. They were wearing what is called kente cloth. Kente cloth. And you talk about some backlash coming out. They were wearing all of these, and yet they're wearing a kente cloth, which is a special fabric with deep, meaningful origins rooted in West Africa. They were doing it trying to show solidarity with the black community, pandering, but it has fallen flat within the black community, and they're getting backlash from members of the black community and those from Ghana, because that's where a lot of it came from. That was apparently the beginning of it. It's very much a part of the Ghanaian identity. And some of those are responding saying, I had to say something about the American politicians shameless and ignorantly using the kente fabric as a prop in their virtual signaling. I'm usually more mild-mannered than this, so please forgive me. I'm upset. And the man writing that tweet is from Ghana. He's Ghanaian. He said, the Democrats have no interest in black America. This is Errol Weber for Congress, a U.S. candidate for Congress. He said, they have no interest in black America. These fools think that because they put some kente cloth on, they're going to get the black vote. This is, again, Earl Weber. He's a Republican candidate for California's 37th Congressional District. Another, a former National Press Secretary for Bernie Sanders, quipped, as Congress members iced their knees and put away their kente cloth graduation stoles, I hope they consider supporting a monthly stimulus check. You want to really do something for the black community, don't wear the kente and make it misappropriation for your culture. One said this is no different than Trump standing in front of a church holding up a Bible. A screenwriter said, what if they like pass some laws instead of dressing up like a chess set or something of that nature? It's part of it got lost in the printing. I don't have all of it. Karen Bass, Congresswoman Karen Bass, chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus, didn't like it either. Said the significance of the Kente cloth is our African heritage. And for those of you without that heritage, we're acting in solidarity. That's the significance of the Kente cloth, our origins, respecting our past. But it did not fly. It did not fly with others who are actually from Ghana and said this is being misappropriated. Oh, there's one quote. Let me find this quote. This quote was really good. This came from a pro-life activist. Said you misappropriated at its worst. More next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.